This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Friday, the 9th day of June 2023, and this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and anything else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on Twitter, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the podcast is available wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You're sure to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. All right, folks. This is the last episode of Squirrel Chatter for 2 weeks because I'm going to camp. Yep, they're sending me off to summer camp. My Mrs. Squirrel wants to get rid of me for a while, sending me off to summer camp. I am working. This coming week is high school week, and then the week after that is 8th and 9th grade boys, and those are the 2 weeks that I am working camp. I wish they weren't consecutive, but hey, that's the way it worked out, so that's what we got going on. So, just a reminder, no Squirrel Chatter for 2 weeks. Count them, 2 weeks. So we will return on June 26th, I believe is correct. So look for us then. And that's just the way that is. I'm probably going to take the first week of July off too, just so you know. We have an opportunity to stay at a timeshare, take a little vacation. Certain yet, but just to put out the idea that, and last year or 2 years ago, I did the podcast from the timeshare. It's my mother-in-law's timeshare. I remember sitting on the balcony with my laptop and the golf course. That's what it was, a golf course behind me. Doing the podcast. That was fun, but I won't do that. I was doing that. We were reading through scripture and I didn't want to fall behind. But we're not doing that this time. We're just going with what we got. All right, folks, what do we have today? We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's daily reading from the Life of Christ. And it's Federalist Friday. We have Federalist number 27 today. It's really humid. It's been raining for the last couple of days. And I know it's only like 60 degrees in here, but with all the lights, I'm feeling muggy. It is 83% humidity, which is unheard of. That's what my 64 degrees in here and 83% humidity. No wonder I'm sweating. I am not used to that. The Piney Woods of Montana are a very dry and arid place. So it's very rare that we have humidity like this. But as I said, it's been raining for the last couple of days and had the windows open last night and, you know, trying to cool the house off. But boy, we sure got the muggies today. Hopefully it'll dry up. I looked at the weather today. Let's see what it's going to do. Let's check out the weather app. And why isn't it loading? I don't know. Cancel that. Go here. There we go. And ladies and gentlemen, the weather is currently 61 degrees with thunderstorms expected this afternoon. It's heading for a high of 80. Hope you have a great day on Friday here in the Piney Woods. All right. Well, after the weather report, let us begin with our prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ by John MacArthur. Our devotional today is entitled The Function of Salt. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Matthew 5:13. Salt has always been valuable in human society, often much more so than it is today. But the particular characteristics of salt that Jesus was referring to in this passage have resulted in various suggestions. Some interpreters point out that salt is white and therefore represents purity. As the pure in heart, verse 8, Jesus' disciples are to be pure before the world and are to be God's means of helping purify the rest of the world. Others emphasize the characteristic of flavor. Just as many foods are tasteless without salt, the world is drab and tasteless without the presence of Christians. Because salt stings when placed on a wound, some interpreters believe Jesus meant to illustrate that Christians are to sting the world, prick its conscience, and thus make it uncomfortable in the presence of God's gospel. Salt also creates thirst, so others believe God intends for his people to live before the world in such a way that others will be made aware of their spiritual dehydration. While all of these interpretations are reasonable, it's likely Jesus was primarily referring to salt as a preservative. Christians are a preserving influence in the world. They retard moral and spiritual spoilage. As God's children and as temples of his Holy Spirit, we represent God's presence in the earth. We are the salt that prevents the entire earth from degenerating even faster than it already is. Ask yourself, in what ways are you and your church personifying the various properties of salt, whether by words, actions, or outreaches? Think very specifically. Which of these examples are proving to be the most effective at this, and why? All right, that is Dr. MacArthur this morning. And now, it's Federalist Friday. We are continuing to make our way through the Federalist paper. Papers, that's plural. After a few sips of coffee. We're continuing to make our way through the Federalist Papers, and as I have repeatedly said, when we are done reading through them, I'm reading through them with minimal comment. When we are done reading through them, we are going to take what we have learned through the reading of the Federalist Papers, and we are going to go back and go through the Constitution and look at what it says and how it applies the philosophies that are outlined in the Federalist Papers. Remember, the Federalist Papers were a series of 80-some articles written to the colonies, published in the newspapers, to support the ratification of the new Constitution, because it had to be ratified by the states before it could go into effect. And so the Federalist Papers were written as arguments in favor of ratification, published in the newspapers. And then there were also the Anti-Federalist Papers. We're not going to read through those, but they are an interesting read. And when I was in high school, the Constitution of the United States, the Federalist Papers, and the Anti-Federalist Papers were our textbook for senior U.S. government. Sadly, they no longer are, at least not in our local school district, and probably not in your school district either. There has been a serious effort to dumb down American education. And I remember my dad saying that school was more rigorous when he was in high school in the 50s as opposed to when I was in high school in the 80s. So, you know, that's something to think about. If it's degenerated that much, I've repeatedly said, and I'm not going to get into it today, but I've repeatedly said it's time to pull the plug on the American public education system, flush it, start from the ground up. We don't have to get rid of the buildings, but the whole program and curriculum and everything needs to be completely scrapped and rethought. The teachers' unions need to be done away with. Now, will this happen? Probably not. And that's one of the reasons why I'm such a strong proponent of homeschooling and Christian schools and getting your kids out of the public school. At the same time, I would love to see more Christians teaching in the public schools. And those are not contradictory thoughts. More about that at some other time. Federalist number 27. The same subject continued. The idea of restraining the legislative authority in regard to the common defense considered. From the New York Packet, Tuesday, December 25th, 1787, author Alexander Hamilton, to the people of the state of New York. Remember, these were written, published in the newspapers. The accounts that we have are the ones that have preserved for us, I believe in most copies, are the ones from New York. Somebody in New York was the person who gathered them all up together. But they were published throughout the colonies. This is the published version that appeared in New York. It has been urged in different shapes that a constitution of the kind proposed by the convention cannot operate without the aid of a military force to execute its laws. This, however, like most other things that have been alleged on that side, rests on mere general assertion, unsupported by any precise or intelligible designation of the reasons upon which it is founded. As far as I have been able to divine the latent meaning of the objectors, it seems to originate in a presupposition that the people will be disinclined to the exercise of federal authority in any manner of an internal nature. Waiving any exception that might be taken to the inaccuracy or inexplicitness of the distinction between internal and external, let us inquire what ground there is to presuppose that disinclination in the people. Unless we presume at the same time that the powers of the general government will be worse administered than those of the state government. There seems to be no room for the presumption of ill will, disaffection, or opposition in the people. I believe it may be laid down as a general rule that their confidence in and obedience to a government will commonly be proportioned to the goodness or badness of its administration. It must be admitted that there are exceptions to this rule, but these exceptions depend so entirely on accidental causes that they cannot be considered as having any relation to the intrinsic merits or demerits of a constitution. These can only be judged of by general principles and maxims. Various reasons have been suggested in the course of these papers to induce a probability that the general government will be better administered than the particular governments, the principal of which reasons are that the extension of the spheres of election will present a greater option or latitude of choice to the people that through the medium of the state legislatures, which are select bodies of men and which are to appoint the members of the National Senate, there is reason to expect that this branch will generally be composed with peculiar care and judgment, that these circumstances promise greater knowledge and more extensive information in the national councils, and that they will be less apt to be tainted by the spirit of faction and more out of the reach of those occasional ill humors or temporary prejudices and propensities, which, in smaller societies, frequently contaminate the public councils, beget injustice and oppression of a part of the community, and engender schemes which, though they gratify a momentary inclination or desire, terminate in general distress, dissatisfaction, and disgust. Several additional reasons of considerable force to fortify that probability will occur when we come to survey, with a more critical eye, the interior structure of the edifice which we are invited to erect. It will be sufficient here to remark that until satisfactory reason can be assigned to justify an opinion, that the federal government is likely to be administered in such a manner as to render it odious or contemptible to the people. There can be no reasonable foundation for the supposition that the laws of the Union will meet with any greater obstruction from them, or will stand in need of any other method to enforce their execution than the laws of the particular members. The hope of impunity is a strong incitement to sedition, the dread of punishment a proportionally strong disencouragement to it. Will not the government of the Union, which, if possessed of a due degree of power, can call to its aid the collective resources of the whole Confederacy, be more likely to repress the former sentiment and to inspire the latter than that of a single state, which can only command the resources within itself? A turbulent faction in a state may easily suppose itself able to contend with the friends to the government in that state, but it can hardly be so infatuated as to imagine itself a match for the combined efforts of the Union. If this reflection be just, there is less danger of resistance from irregular combinations of individuals to the authority of the Confederacy than to that of a single member. I will in this place hazard an observation, which will not be the less just because to some it may appear new, which is that the more the operations of the national authority are intermingled in the ordinary exercise of the government, the more of the citizens are accustomed to meet with it in the common occurrences of their political life, the more it is familiarized to their sight and to their feelings, the further it enters into those objects which touch the most sensible chords and put in motion the most active springs of the human heart, the greater will be the probability that it will conciliate the respect and attachment of the community. Man is very much a creature of habit, a thing that rarely strikes his senses will generally have but little influence upon his mind. A government continually at a distance and out of sight can hardly be expected to interest the sensations of the people. The inference is that the authority of the Union and the affections of the citizens toward it will be strengthened rather than weakened by its extension to what are called matters of internal concern, and will have less occasion to recur to force in proportion to the familiarity and comprehensiveness of its agency. The more it circulates through those channels and currents in which the passions of mankind naturally flow, the less will it require the aid of violent and perilous expedients of compulsion. One thing, at all events, must be evident, that a government like the one proposed would bid much fairer to avoid the necessity of using force than that species of league contended for by most of its opponents, the authority of which should only operate upon the states in their political or collective capacities. It has been shown that in such a confederacy, there can be no sanction for the laws but force, that frequent delinquencies in the members are the natural offspring of the very frame of the government, and that as often as those happen, they can only be redressed, if at all, by war and violence. The plan reported by the convention, by extending the authority of the federal head to the individual citizens of the several states, will enable the government to employ the ordinary magistracy of each. The ordinary magistracy of each. In the execution of its laws, meaning that the local courts would be enforcing federal law. It is easy to perceive that this will tend to destroy, in the common apprehension, all distinction between the sources from which they might proceed, and will give the federal government the same advantage for securing a due obedience to its authority, which is enjoyed by the government of each state. In addition to the influence on public opinion, which will result from the important considerations of having its power to call to its assistance and support the resources of the whole Union. It merits particular attention in this place that the laws of the Confederacy as to the enumerated and legitimate objects of its jurisdiction will become the supreme law of the land, to the observance of which all officers, legislative, executive, and judicial in each state will be bound by the sanctity of an oath. Thus the legislatures, courts, and magistrates of the respective members will be incorporated into the operations of the national government as far as its just and constitutional authority extends, and will be rendered auxiliary to the enforcement of its laws. Any man who will pursue, by his own reflections, the consequences of this situation will perceive that there is good ground to calculate upon a regular and peaceable execution of the laws of the Union, if its powers are administrated with a common share of prudence. If we will arbitrarily suppose the contrary, we may deduce any inference we please from the supposition. For it is certainly possible, by an injudicious exercise of the authorities of the best government, that ever was, or ever can be instituted, to provoke and precipitate the people in the wildest excesses. But though the adversaries of the proposed Constitution should presume that the national rulers would be insensible to the motives of public good, or to the obligations of duty, I would still ask them how the interests of ambition or the views of encroachment can be prompted by such a conduct, Publius. All right. Let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for the week of Trinity Sunday. O God, the protector of all those who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now the Collect for Endurance. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And now the Collect for the Unrepentant. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for today. That is Squirrel Chatter for this week. And that is Squirrel Chatter for the next 2 weeks. I will see you back here again on the 26th of June. Until then, be praying for me at camp. Be praying for the kids that have to deal with me as I lead devotionals and just spend time with them. Looking forward to the weeks of camp. It's always a joy. I always have a good time. But that's where I'll be. You'll be here, and I'll be back on the 26th. Until then, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. I'll see you again on the 26th. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.